Open up to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Be reading verses 17 through 19. Acts 21, 17 through 19. When they had come to Jerusalem, and the brethren received us gladly, on the following day Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And when he had greeted them, he told them in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry.
This morning. This is Jebba. I usually wear my babarigas, which are very formal, but this is a Jebba, and this is not clerical. It's the best they make in Nigeria, really. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning for 30 minutes. I'm going to time this thing and show you some of your work that you're doing in Africa, and I have to do the PowerPoint presentation. So if you guys can't see on these two wings over here, you might have to move to the sides. The first obligation I have this morning is to wish my wonderful wife of 53 years happy birthday. It's true. It's her birthday today. And on another note, I'd like to put November to bed because we lost Miss Pat and we lost Sister Kirby. I went to her funeral this week, and the whole top of that population on the top of that mountain over in northeast Alabama showed up to say goodbye to Joyce. And she was a member here, too. Gracious lady, I know you'll miss her like you missed Miss Pat. I wear this for the kids. I wear these robes. I wear them in Nigeria for ceremonies and things, for official ceremonies and stuff, but I wear it mainly for the kids. You know, when we were over at the old building on Church Street, I was preaching one night, and I was standing down in the middle and in the aisle, and a woman tried to sneak in. She was standing there like Eddie's standing there, and she was trying to sneak in the door, and she had this little about six-year-old boy on her arm, and she was trying to sneak in during the service. And just as she got inside the door, everybody was really quiet, and I'd paused in my presentation, and the little boy saw me down the aisle, and he swung back on his mother's arm, and he said, "Look, Mom, there's Moses." Needless to say, I thought the woman was going to melt. I thought she was going to melt, but she didn't. And the kids nowadays in Freed Harbor and other places that I go around to say, "Brother Worley, we remember the robes, and we're going into mission work." And they remember me in the crowd. That makes me stand out, and it brings forth your work. I'm only going to touch the hem of the garment just on the work that you do. You know, we have over 1,200 children in Africa because of you. We are celebrating next week. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary in this congregation. That's a long time. Dee Dee got a surprise for me this morning and gave it to the men in the booth back there, and it's what it was, is Jos, where we located in Nigeria 32 years ago in the open fields and the no buildings, and we driving a tractor in there, a bulldozer in there to start the school. So I want to show you some things and take you to Nigeria. I'll move fast. I'll get the text going here. Do I point it this way? Do I have to turn it on? Help! That's Larry Kirby, of course. Larry's going to join me in the work. Okay, let me do it this way. Okay, I need somebody here. Do I turn this on or what? There we go. You have to turn it on. Okay, good. Thank you. That's a college student. Now, he's educated. They taught him that at Freed Hardeman. Ask his daddy. He'll tell you how much it cost. Africa's a continent. It's not a country. You can see here, I put this up, the United States fits into the desert of Africa. And you can put in there China, you can put Western Europe, you can put in there Argentina, you can even put India. There's more population than all of those places in Africa. Nigeria, where we work, where we started our work 32 years ago, is the largest black populated nation in the world. It contains more Muslims than Iraq. There's 52 million Muslims in Nigeria. And that's just a low count. It's located on the west coast of Africa, and it's a wonderful place to go. Over 20 people from this congregation have been there, have walked those mountains and those jungles in West Africa. When we started 20 years ago here together, there was no Churches of Christ in the country of Chad. Now we have churches in Chad, and I'll show them to you. When we started 20 years ago here in Savannah, Tennessee, there was no Churches of Christ in the country of Niger. I'll show you that work as it progressed for the last 20 years with us together. In Uganda, we started to work in 1992 in Uganda together. I'll show you the work there. In March the 2nd of this year, I left the United States. I flew to Nigeria, and we worked for about 2 months working on the dormitory and other related construction jobs that we have in Nigeria. Taught in the villages, run all over Nigeria. And then after about 2 months, I took a flight up to Niger, into Niamey, and went out into the villages. I wear my robes and my turban when I go up there because it's so hot, it's like working in an oven. And the sand and blows so hard that it'll wreck your complexion, as you can see. And I ride motorcycles. And I'm riding across the desert on a motorcycle. And if you've ever rode a motorcycle on sand, you know it just kind of shifts around. It's not like Buddy's Harley. It's shifting around, and I'm sitting back there behind this teenager that's driving me, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing, boy, in this country? But the work is going good. It's the same place to where the four SEALs were killed this summer. That's in Niger. And I'm out in there. God is protecting me, and we keep going. Of course, our biggest enemy in Africa is Islam. We've worked with them all the time that we've been in Africa. We went from 30 congregations to over 350 congregations in northern Nigeria, where they're predominantly the population there. And we keep growing. We've had Muslims, converted Muslims, walk down this aisle here as Christians from Nigeria. It's people. It's the largest black population in the world. It's teeming with people. It's the population will double in the next 8 years, and it'll become the third most populated nation in the world behind China and India. And they're educated. They love education. We brought 10 Africans here to America to get their master's degrees. All 10 of those Africans completed their degrees and are back home in Africa. Next year, we'll bring another one over for his master's. In the following year, we'll bring a Ugandan over for his master's in the Old Testament. And we'll continue to educate the men where we can obtain those educations. Of course, we started the School of Biblical Studies, Solomon and I. As you remember, he's been here many times. He's the tall black guy. You guys didn't catch that at all. I'm the short white guy over there. You know, they get us mixed up over there. They really do. When Ray Bush was here and I took him to Nigeria, Ray had a beard, and he was a little heavier set than I was, but we would go through the villages, and I made a mistake, and I introduced Ray as my brother. And Ray took me aside between the villages, and he says, if you wouldn't mind, would you say, brother in Christ? And I said, okay, Ray. Well, that just turned me loose then, because the next village, I introduced him as my father. And in the next village, I introduced him as my grandfather. Before we got to the next village, Ray said, listen, it's okay. You can introduce me as your brother. It's a wonderful place. We built the library there. We'll be taking another 40-foot steel container, sea container, next year. first part of next year to this library. And there will be all the books, my library, Greg Hamlin's library, a lot of preachers' libraries. We get library books from our universities and our colleges to stock this library. We have people coming from all over northern Nigeria to study in our library, both Muslims, Christians, anybody that wants to come can come. It gives us an opportunity for our students to evangelize them while they're studying. We built another building in their administration building. We built the classroom block building. And 3 years ago, we started, our guest house. This is where you'll stay. 2 years ago, we took our granddaughters, and Adam Cox took his twins, both of them, boy, girl, 8. And we took a bunch of Americans. We stayed a month there at 18 people in the house. It's a beautiful house. You'll come. It has 3 sources of water, 3 sources of electricity. It's owned by the school. And you don't have to mow the grass because it's all rocks up there. We have a cave up there, too. You can go in the cave. That's Dee Dee standing on the front porch. Have a swing on the porch. It's clean. You'll do lectureships. You'll teach God's Word if you're a woman. You'll teach the ladies' classes, which are just phenomenal. You can go on seminars into other cities and teach ladies' classes, and they'll come by the hundreds. The main problem that you have if you go over there and you start teaching the ladies as a lady is your arms get bruised, because when you try to leave, they want to hold on to you. And they will bruise your arms. It's literally, they are so hungry for the Word. 3 years ago, we started a dormitory. And this was 3 years ago. We finished the first floor. And then this year, when I went in this year, we finished the floor. And then we put the metal on the roof while I was there. We sent it, finished the second floor. And then as soon as I got back, I sent them money, and we finished, put the roof on. There's still a whole list of things that need to be done on the dormitory. It's not painted yet. You know, I stand before you 1 hour every year, or 130 minutes every year, and try to tell you what's going on in Africa. It's almost impossible. But I want you to know what works are going on over there. So every 4 months, we put out the Joss Journal. It's a 6-page publication. And in there is listed a lot of the things that's going on in Africa that you're involved in, that you started, that you continue to support. And we couldn't do it without you. So the new ones, I just put it out last week, printed it up. It's in the foyer. If you'd like to receive it at home, give Debbie, our secretary, your address, and we'll mail it to you at home if you want to. It's also online on our website. Just hit missions, and you'll see it on our website. You can read the journal on the website. But the dorm is going great. We have a graduation every year. And before the graduation, a week before the graduation, all of our students and all of our teachers go on a week-long evangelism trip. It's just unbelievable. They travel all over Nigeria. They spend a week. When they get into the villages, our teams or our students in the villages will help them on the farms during the day and preach to them and study with them at night. This year, we had over 40 baptisms. And that's just going down in. We load them up in buses. We've got 2 buses from Kentucky that we took over there, 2 short buses that we took over from Kentucky. We load them up. We put them in vans. We took 7 vans this year and load them up into vans and put them down into those villages. They preach the gospel, and the work grows. It's not our personality, and every student at Joss knows this. It's not our personalities that convince people to become Christians. It's the gospel. It's the Word. The Word convicts. God provides the Word. The Holy Spirit convicts them, and what we do is we teach them. And that's how it goes. They have to receive it. It's their responsibility. We have the most educated Bible school staff outside the United States in our brotherhood. This is our staff at SBS. Next year we'll send our first replacement that's going to incur. We haven't had a replacement for years, but we're getting older. Solomon is going to retire. Our president is going to retire next year, so we're bringing in one of our graduates that graduated head of his class. He went on to law school, passed the bar. He's now a lawyer. He's worked 2 years with one of the major churches down in Lagos. We're going to bring him here, leave his wife at home for 2 years, and he's going to get his master's degree, and then he's going to join this staff. Our staff has 8 different tribes represented. All of our staff members have master's degree above. A few of them have their PhDs. 5 of them are in the program to receive their PhDs in the next 3 years. It's a good school. There's no place better to receive an education. We're fully accredited up to the undergraduate level. We spent this summer while Solomon was here up at Dr. Blackwelder up at Freed Harmon University, and we're in the final stages of putting a master's degree affiliated with the university, Freed Harmon University, on campus next August. So after August, Lord willing, there'll be no reason for anybody on the Africa continent to come to America for a Bible education. And that's happening, and it's just amazing if you stop to think about this, that we've brought 10 here and educated them, and they all went back home, and we've got 8 different tribes on staff, and they all speak 3 or 4 languages, and we've got 137 students now full-time on campus. This last May, we graduated 47 graduates. They were from 2 different countries. They were one family graduated. We have an extension courses centers all in parts of Nigeria where our teachers will go out twice a year, spend 2 weeks in the villages, and teach college-level courses to villagers, just like the Freed Harmon professors would come to Savannah here twice a year, and you could get a 2-year degree from Freed Harmon if you went to classes. That's what we do. And we offer a 3-year course in some places. Well, we had 47 graduates from our training centers. In fact, and that's because of the people in the villages don't have time working on the farms to come to Jos. So the churches build their training centers, our training centers. They pay us, our teachers, to come down there and stay with us. We live in their homes. They feed us, and we educate them. Well, one family was graduating, and they wanted to walk the line at Jos. They wanted to go up and graduate at Jos instead of down at the training center. So they went up to Jos, an old man and an old woman. And I can say old because I are one, okay? An old man, an old woman, they wanted to graduate at Jos because their son was receiving a 4-year degree in Bible. So you had the mother, father, son walking through the line to receive their degrees. You talk about powerful. And 47 people are getting their degrees. They're standing in the windows. They're standing room only at Jos. It's the biggest crowd I've seen at our graduations. 2 of our staff's wives got 4-year degrees this year. And one mother-daughter team got their degrees this year. They're coming from all over the African continent and beyond. One of my dreams or one of my goals, I went to San Francisco to do it. I want to recruit Americans to come to Jos and get their 4-year degree and live in the house. Wouldn't that be neat? Have our first American student from the United States go to Africa and get their 4-year degree in Jos. And by the time they finish that 4-year degree, they can get their master's from Freed Harmon University, have 6 years experience in the mission field. While they're getting their master's degrees, they can teach in the undergraduate levels of our other courses, because we offer a 2, 3, 4-year courses plus our degree course at Jos with our teachers. And that's just a small part of it. This year we brought in 57 new students from all over Nigeria. They come from all over Africa. We got our Chad students. We got another student from Zimbabwe. We got our first student from Sierra Leone all the way over into West Africa. We have graduates all over the world. We have them even in Australia. We have teachers in Bangladesh. We have schools starting in Zimbabwe by our graduates. And this is growing, brother, and this is growing bigger every year. It just, nobody knows, I don't think. We do our sequential planning. We do our 10-year plan. We just finished our 10-year growth plan and submitted it to our elders in Gadsden. And we'll do that in the next 4 years. And we'll go from there, because the work is just continues to grow. Abuja, the federal capital of Nigeria, is 3.2 million people. They moved the capital from down in on the coast. They moved it up to Abuja about 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Now they have 3.2 million people. They're coming from all over Nigeria, just gravitating into that city. They're building that city. We have 47 churches of Christ in that city today. Well, we probably have more. Last time I was there and we met with the 47 preachers, we had 47 churches. In 5 years, they'll go to 8.6 million people. We put a Bible correspondence course down there. We asked a church to give us a building, and we put a Bible correspondence course down there, and we've already got two men working in it full time. And we're going to use the 47 churches of Christ in that area to spread the gospel in that city of 3.2 million people. The troops came into Nigeria about 8 years ago now. 3 years ago, when I went over, I asked a couple of the preachers to go up into the Chibok area and find 30 students, high school students, and we'd take them out of that slaughter area up there, move them down into a safe place where we had a church meeting, and put them in government schools. They come up with 444 kids. We put them in a school. We got to, you sent the mosquito nets for each of the children, and Dustin sent t-shirts. This is our t-shirts from our VBS. Isn't that neat? And that's just some of the kids. We got 444 kids. We graduated 50 the first year out of high school. Now, these are all high school kids. And in the second year, this year, we graduated another 50. I think we're down to about 315 high school students now that left their homes because they were burnt down, their church buildings because they were burnt down. They burnt down the police stations, the banks, and everything in that area. And we took them and put them in the government schools. And they're good kids. We hired a youth minister to administer to their spiritual needs. The church owned some land in that city that they had bought on their own savings. So we built them a building, help them build a building in that city, so the kids could have devotionals in that building. It's finished now. And it says, Isaiah says, so will my word be which goeth forth from my mouth. It will not return unto me void, empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. That's why we opened a Bible correspondence course 5 years ago in Jos. It's fully nationalized in the sense that everything stays in Nigeria. The courses are graded in Nigeria. They're printed in Nigeria. In our Bible Correspondence Course Center in Abuja, where we found a church building, they gave us a classroom. We started the Bible Correspondence courses written by a World Bible School teacher herself that had thousands of students years back throughout Nigeria. She wrote the courses. She gave us permission and copyrights to where we could print it in Nigeria. We print it, we send it out, and we reap the harvest with the 47 churches in Abuja. Am I moving too fast for you? My lips are not turning numb yet. Let me show you. If this is going. Okay, here we go. This is the church building in Abuja that they gave us. Correspondence course. Aha. Okay, we're going backwards. We put two men in there, experienced evangelists. We put computers in there. One man can grade 40 courses a day because we put all the courses on the computers, the answers to all the questions, the letters to all the students. So one man can grade 40 courses per day, and we're burning up the computer. In the country of Chad, we have almost 500 students in the country of Chad. And when we started, there was no church in the country of Chad. You remember? Now we've got 35 preachers, and they come for a lectureship. They built us a church. They built their own church building out of mud. down in Donemanga. I go there about once every 2 years. It's supported by the Petersville Church of Christ in Florence, Alabama. There's no running water, no electricity, and it's all village people. So they didn't even have any schools down there at all. So those preachers, three of our graduates, started a school. They started it with the kids, just the local kids. They'd feed them one meal a day, and they built classrooms that looked like this. And then Petersville and others started building individual buildings with two classrooms per building. So we graduated to that, and we have just under 800 kids now. And when you go there, you know, you go there and you see them, and they come out and they greet you. To come out and greet you, they all march in unison. And you know, I'm ex-military, so this really gets me, you know, because it looks like a battalion. And you got 60 kids per block, and you got 12 blocks, or troops, if you want to call them troops. And the first graders are marching, and it's French. It's a French curriculum. It's a government curriculum, and we added Bible and English. So the little kids are singing, you know, and their legs are about that long, and it's hot, and it's sweaty, and they're marching. And then the teenagers come out, and they're big, and they know English now, and they're singing, "I've decided to follow Jesus." And you look at it, and it's over almost 800 kids marching. And you know, in 10 years, they're all going to be adults, and they're all going to know the gospel. And that's what you do here. They're sitting on the floor, on the dirt floors, and they're learning. And the teacher has a chalkboard and a piece of chalk. And all day long, we give them one meal, and then they go home to their villages, back to their villages every day. It's a day school. In Niger, the poorest country in Africa, we've run food programs. We've taken bicycles. We've taken motorcycles. We've supplied whatever we need to supply. A boy that was converted Muslim was thrown out of his house when he was in high school, and we bought him a donkey and a cart, and he worked his way through high school and learned English, and we brought him to Jos over across the border to the next country. We taught him 4 years of Bible, and the day before, or the week before he was graduating, his mother came. She was a Muslim. Every year in a four-year school, he would go home and talk to her about Jesus, and when she came for the graduation, the lady studied with her in the house of language, and she was baptized into Christ and took her boy home. They started the church up there. They've got a building up there. We sent an older man with a wife and three girls from Ivory Coast to give them maturity, because the young man was just a college graduate. They're working together up in Niger, where those SEALs were ambushed, and are doing a good job. I mean, doing a good job. They got a church building built. They've got two congregations going, and they're moving along in the country of Uganda. After I got back from Niger, I went over to Uganda for a week, made preparations in Uganda for a group to come over from Walter Hill, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the Walter Hill Church of Christ. Elders there and church members came over. There was 13 of them. We stayed 2 weeks running around doing VBSs and preaching and teaching. And when we go into a village, they'd call all the schools down. They'd close the schools and bring all the kids together, and they'd do skits on the side of the bus. And there was hundreds of them, hundreds of them. I preached one time for 2 hours, had I think 23 baptisms, 23 people. These are old people, young people, middle-aged people. They wanted to be baptized. We put them in our bus, took them to a irrigation ditch in a local sugar plantation, and baptized all 23 of them. All told, that campaign, we had 34 baptisms. And that's the power of the gospel. That's what's happening here in this congregation. Not just the old Walmart building. We're talking about the people in this building. We're talking about the eldership. We're talking about the families. We're talking about the youth minister. We're talking about Barry. We're talking about the deacons. We're talking about members of the church that are working, that are struggling every day in their lives to maintain a good growth in Christian living. That's who we are. You are who I am, and I am you. And you mentioned the Savannah Church of Christ anywhere in our brotherhood, especially east of the Mississippi, or if you can add in Arkansas and Texas, especially there. You mentioned the Savannah Church of Christ, and everybody knows us. They know us from Evangelism University. They know us for our African work. They know us for our Miami work. Can we do more? Absolutely. Will we do more? Absolutely. Are we doing enough? Absolutely. We are. And we're growing. And that's the beauty of Christian living. I am where I'm at. I'm enjoying where I'm at. But I know tomorrow is going to be better, especially in the work and in every aspect of this family here at Savannah. May God bless you. If Lord willing, I'll be going back over next year. We're going to, in May, we're going to do the dedication to the dormitory. All of our male students are in the dormitory this year. We moved them in the dormitory. We haven't painted it or anything yet, but all the male students are in the dormitory. All the female students are in the old male dormitory. We've got to wall it now and gate it. But we've got all of our students on campus. We're going to dedicate both of those dormitories in May. Solomon is going to retire in May. We'll have our lectureship in May. You can teach on the lectureship, ladies. You can teach on the lectureship, men. You're welcome to go with me. It'll be at a later part of May. May God bless this work. The most important thing, brethren, is you. Christianity is... You know, sometimes I get caught up in our program. Sometimes I get caught up in mission work. And I don't see the individual. I don't see the... I had an elder one time in southern Nigeria. We were baptizing people, and he started crying. And I said, Dick, I said, what's wrong? And he said, Steve, he said, I've been an elder most of my life. He said, and I have never seen this many people baptized at one time. He said, this place is a Christian Disneyland. Well, it's the same here, brethren. It's the same souls. It's the same spirit. It's the same people. We're all created in God's image. No matter what the tribe, no matter what the color, no matter what the creed. And we all have a spirit within us that's going to live forever. Our body's going to pass away, like the two beautiful ones that left us this month. But our spirit is going to live forever. And you have a choice whether that spirit of yours is going to live in paradise for eternity or in hell. That's the choice. And only you can make that. I can't make it for you. I can teach you, but you have to accept it. You have to accept Jesus Christ as lived and worked and presented the gospel and died and came back again and went to heaven to prepare a place for us. You have to accept that individually. In your mind and in your soul, accept that truth. Confess that truth verbally. Repent of your sins and submit your body to be buried in the likeness of his death, where you go into that watery grave and you go down and God cleanses you, crucifies you, raises you in the newness of life. We all went through it, or all of us that have went through it, enjoyed it. Now we're celebrating in it. If you haven't, you need to come while we stand and sing. God bless you.
You are beautiful beyond.